minutes in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we truly, Lord, believe that it is you, the Lord Jesus Christ, yourself, who have come down with a shout. We believe that your Son in the Alpha came in your name, but you have come in your own name in this hour, making ready for your Son to come back again, that we might meet him in the air and ever so be with him. And Father, we pray that your word would get us ready for that meeting time. We talked about it Sunday, the great wedding supper that we're going to. And Lord, we know that to get there, there's got to be the voice of the resurrection and then the great trumpet that catches us away and calls us home. And so, Father, we look for a great thing to happen, Lord, in our bodies, for we know that we've got to receive a change in these bodies to go. And Lord, we ask that you would do this for us by the transforming of the mind, the renewing of the mind, bringing forth the transformation in the body by the renewing of the mind. And Lord, we just commit ourselves to that renewing process in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I'd like to speak again. This is Who Is This Melchizedek number 101. And we entitled the message The Wedding Supper from Sunday, but actually this one is going to be on not the wedding supper itself, but it's going to be on the resurrection, or the time of the resurrection, and actually the shout, the voice, and the trump. Now, from 1 Thessalonians, if you would turn with me, we're going to examine this because this ties right in with what Brother Branham was talking about when he was mentioning about the great wedding supper we're going to, and he talked about the order of events. And so we want to look at the order that he talked about. And if we turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and reading from verse 13, he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." Now, the fact is that there are many that are ignorant concerning those which are asleep. I heard a brother years ago say that that those that are asleep are basically not in the bride. Only that the only ones in the bride are this end time. Now, that's foolishness. Paul says right here that, "I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." All right, so God is going to do it. So will God bring with him, or with himself, or we could say that God will bring them up just as he brought his Son up, and when his Son comes to meet us in the air, God will bring them at that time. So you see, it is God that is coming at this time with a shout. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming..." Now that word is parousia, or presence. So he says, "We which are alive and remain unto the parousia, presence of the Lord..." Well, the question then is, which Lord? Well, there's only one true Lord. And Paul is talking about the presence of that one Lord, and that's the Lord God himself. And so we read that "we which are alive and remain unto the coming," or the parousia, the presence of that Lord, "shall not prevent," and that word means come before, "them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." And Brother Branham told us in the rapture that that is a message. "And with the voice of an archangel," and he said that's the resurrection, "and with the trump of God," and that's the catching away. And then, notice, and what? "And then the dead in Christ shall rise first." All right? "Then after that, we which are alive and remain," or have survived, "shall be caught up together with them." Together with who? "The living with those who have already passed away and have rose from the dead." All right? "And we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Now, I believe, as Brother Brad said, it's not a great thunderhead, but it's a cloud of glory. Now, we know that this was not a thunderhead, but it was a cloud of glory. Seven angels came with seven messages, basically, and they were a representation of those seven thunders. But I believe, personally, like Brother Branham said, that seventh one was the most familiar to me. Alright? So we find then that we have the seven mysteries were brought down, concluded because the seals were opened. Now, this evening, we're going to examine this scene as we follow on with the message of who is this Melchizedek. Now, from paragraph 109, Brother Branham said, notice again, Melchizedek went to meet Abraham before he got back home. What a beautiful type here that we have. Melchizedek meeting Abraham before he got back home after the battle. We meet Jesus in the air before we get home. That's right. 2 Thessalonians tells us that, and actually it's 1 Thessalonians. But anyway, he goes on, for we meet him in the air. A beautiful type of Rebecca meeting Isaac in the field in the cool of the day. We meet him in the air. 2 Thessalonians tells us so. For we which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder those which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Now, notice he says, perfect all these types. Therefore, the theophany, if you have died and entered into that theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. Now, I want to write that down because it's very important what Brother Branham is saying. He tells us that the dead, let's just put the ground here, we got the dead, or those that are asleep, we'll call it that, and we have the living. Now, he said, these that are in the grave, okay, notice what he says. He says, therefore the theophany, if you have died and entered into that theophany, remember, that's what happens when you die. Paul says there's bodies celestial, bodies terrestrial. And he says, Paul says, if this body be dissolved, we have another already waiting. So they have already gone to their theophany. All right? Therefore, the theophany, if you have died and entered into that theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. Now remember, this thing has been brought back to its elements. Okay? But the theophany comes down, okay, and these elements go up. It's kind of like our inkjet printers, you know? And those elements come back together, and they collect by magnetism. And now you have a physical on the body. All right? You understand? How does the jet ink printer work? You get a little bit of a magnetic field there, and then all of a sudden that ink just sticks right to it. Well, the elements are going to come up. The exact elements that came down will be specifically united to that theophany. You're not going to get some dog's elements or some broken down cactus elements. You're going to get the ones that are magnetized to your theophany. Remember, Brother Branson, what you do here is a reflection of where you are somewhere else. Why? Because it's all magnetized. See, now, I'm not talking about magnetics like on magnetic tape. I'm talking about magnetics as if there's a positive and a negative. All right? So there's got to be a perfect reflection somewhere. All right? So Brother Branham says, therefore the theophany, if you have died and entered into that theophany, what happened? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. And if you're here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany, and there you are. So, those of us that are here, on the earth, when we go, our theophany, the one that we've been reflecting down here, we go and join that, okay? Not like Star Trek where you know, this becomes a bunch of little specks and then all of a sudden it's rejoined up here, but it could be something like that. I have no idea. Let's face it. We're talking about light. Light particles, you know. Light and what are the elements?
You have light and mass, or you have, you have, in this dimension, you have time. Come on. Yeah, time, space, and
matter.
Okay, so it's not that we're going to antimatter, although you can think of the theophany as antimatter and attracting the matter. But anyway, we come together. Notice, we have a body already. Now, it's not in the best shape. All right, so something has to happen to this body. This body's got to receive a change first before we go here. These people, this is attracting them. This body's got to come up out of the ground, and then it meets this. You see? This is not going back into the ground to get it. This dead body, this living body, have both got to be changed. There's got to be something that can bring on a change. Then, when it joins with the theophany, it becomes, in matter, it becomes a glorified body. Now, you say, oh, I disagree with you. Listen, it's got to be, because he says, it's the same as Jesus had a glorified body, we've got to have a glorified body. Now, didn't Jesus go to the grave? Now, he never came to this point, because he wasn't in the grave more than 3 days. Alright? But, so he was somewhere between this state and this state. It was dead, but it wasn't that. Right? But it was in the grave, needless to say. And it came out of the grave by what? If this same spirit that be in that was in, that raised Jesus from the dead be in you, it shall also quicken your mortal body. And so we're talking about there's a quickening power in here that has got to respond to the voice. And there's a quickening power already laying in there, just like Elijah, or not Elijah, but who was it? It was the body of Elisha. That when they threw the dead man on top of his bones, there was enough quickening power there to bring that man back to life. 7 times in Brother Branham's ministry, people were raised from the dead. Alright? So there's enough quickening power there to raise the dead. Well, if that same spirit be in you, then it's going to do something to this body. Now, the fact is it's already began that thing. How many of you women in here, well, you kids being raised up, probably never, but you women, before you were born again and saved, how many of you cut your hair? How many of you wore slacks? You see? How many of you pierced yourselves and things like that? Ears or whatever? You don't do it now. What happened? The Holy Spirit, He came in, He grew the hair out through you, using you as a conduit, to reflect what? The glory. Isn't the hair the glory? Doesn't the Bible say that that's for her glory? You see, so you're already in the process of getting the change. Through the mind first, comes into the body. Now, notice now, let's examine the scene that he's talking about here. Number one, he says, if you are among those who are already dead, then you entered first into that theophany, then with that theophany, you come forth to get your redeemed body. In other words, once this happens, and you join to this, it now becomes glorified. It becomes redeemed. Remember, he talks about the redemption to it of the body. Paul talks about the redemption of the body. He talks about, what does he talk about? He talks about the adoption. He says the adoption to it. What? The redemption of the body. So when this joins this, it's like on Mount Transfiguration. Notice Jesus was on Mount Transfiguration when he was adopted, right? And the Bible says that the Spirit of God was came down like a light and said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him?" And we know that Jesus was adopted at that point. Notice he was in an elevated place. We get our adoption in an elevated place. Alright, a higher dimension. Okay? Now, then with that theophany, you come forth to get your redeemed body. And if you have died and entered into that theophany, what happens? The theophany comes to the earth to pick up the redeemed body. Then once that redeemed body is joined to the theophany, it becomes a glorified body. That's number one. Number two, on the other hand, those of us who are among the living will get our body changed and then go to that theophany to complete the glorification process. And if you're here in the air, I'm quoting from Brother Branham, and if you're here in the air, you take the body to meet the theophany, and there you are, and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So Brother Branham says, we actually go to meet our theophany. Now, from uniting time, Brother Branham said, and sign, Brother Branham said, alright, we find that now the time comes when the trumpet sounds, and those sleeping saints back there that could not be made perfect without us, that's many of those Hebrews 11. And when they come together, they unite with the living ones. The church uniting with the Word, then the church and the Word uniting together, becoming one. The dead saints with the living saints uniting together to be one, and all go together to unite with Christ yonder for the wedding supper. Now, let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11.
All right? Because we want to have this down. We want to understand it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By it, the elders obtained a good report. So who's he talking about in Hebrews 11? The elders. Right? Now, who's that? Who's the elders? The 12 patriarchs, right? Well, let's read on. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen are not made of those things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. Now, Brother Branham said, there's many of those, Hebrews 11, and when they come together, they unite with the living ones. So, in Hebrews 11, we read of Abel, right? Well, if we read of Abel, didn't he already come forth in a resurrection? Absolutely. Absolutely. Where do we meet him at? Right here. In that other dimension. You see? Well, let's read on. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness of God, which is by faith. By faith Abraham. Now notice, we're going down the list. All these men of God, you see? All right? And then we read on, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, etc. And he forsook the cities which have foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered. Now notice, she's mentioned. All right, then we read on in verse 12. Therefore sprang there even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerably. In other words, all the seed now. We're talking about all the seed of Abraham. Okay? These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, influenced by them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Therefore, it's important for us not to be mindful of where we came out from. All right? But now, they deserve a better country, that is, an heavenly country, whereof God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he's tried, offered up Isaac, etc. And we read on, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped. And by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of departing. And by faith Moses, and by faith we read on and on. By faith Joshua, and by faith Rahab, and the many heroes of the Bible. There's Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David also, and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions and quenched the violence of fire. You know, that's Daniel and escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong and waxed valiant. And we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in there, and women received their dead raised to life again. That's the Shunammite woman. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. That's Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the prophets, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment, and they were stoned, and they were sawn asunder, and were tempted, and were slain with the sword, and they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not even worthy. And they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all having obtained a good report through faith, they received not yet the promise. For God having provided something better for us, that they without us could not come to completion. What's the completion? This glorified condition. You see? So they are waiting on us. Our theophany, their theophany, our body, their body, coming together, meeting in the air, that's what they're all waiting on. Oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air.
in that sweet, sweet by and by. I'm going to be there, meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. 'Twill be glorious, I do declare. Then God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. You see? And then we go on with that. So, now the first thing then is the appearing is right now. Okay? It has been going on for the past 69 years. 1933, the angel of God came down, stood over William Branham as he was baptizing and said, as John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall your message forerun my second coming. 69 years ago. Now, we're coming upon 70. Can anybody tell me what the number 70 signifies? That's next year in 2003. 70 years the appearing of God has taken place. 70 years Israel was in Babylon. What was 70 signify? Deliverance. Deliverance. Let's turn to Jeremiah 29, verse 8. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, that's confusion, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I have, that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now what's our expected end? Here we go. They without us cannot be made perfect. All right? And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. We'll finally know that we're in His presence. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place where I caused you to be carried away captives. Now, Brother Branham said, you know, you people that say that you have to move to Tucson, he said, don't do that. He said, you'd make me a false prophet, because he said, if they say, although he's in the desert, believe it not. And then they said, well, Brother Branham, I was supposed to move to Tucson. He said, no, don't do that. And they said, well, Brother Branham, but the Bible says that we'll be gathered. There's going to be a gathering. He said, yes, there will be a gathering, but it'll be into one place, and that place is Christ. Now, I believe it's happening. I believe the bride is finally coming out of this stodgy denominational thinking. They've come way beyond now God has sent a prophet, and they've come into the doctrine which is Christ. You see. Okay, now. Notice, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations. What are they being gathered to? The presence. The presence of who? God, the one who says, I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place where I caused you to be carried away captive. Because you have said, the Lord hath raised up us up prophets in Babylon. Know that thus saith the Lord of the king that sitteth upon the throne of David, and of all the people that dwelleth in this city, and of your brethren that are not gone forth with you into captivity, thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will send upon them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that cannot be eaten, they are so evil. And I will persecute them with the sword, with the famine, and with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, and an astonishment, and an hissing, and a reproach among all the nations whither I have driven them. Because they have not hearkened to my word, saith the Lord, which I sent unto them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them. But ye would not hear, saith the Lord. Hear ye therefore the word of the Lord, all ye of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. In other words, look, there's going to be at this great time, when God is going to gather them back, there's going to be a great slaughter. Let's read it again from Isaiah chapter 23, verse 14. Howl ye ships of Tarshish, for your strength is laid waste. And it shall come to pass in that day that Tyre shall be forgotten 70 years, according to the days of one king. After the end of 70 years shall Tyre sing as a harlot. Take in heart, go about the city, thou harlot. that hast been forgotten. Make sweet melody, sing many songs, that thou mayest be remembered. And it shall come to pass after the end of 70 years that the Lord will visit Tyre, and she shall turn to her hire, and shall commit fornications with all the kingdoms of the world upon the face of the earth. And her merchants and her hire shall be holiness to the Lord. It shall not be treasured nor laid up, for her merchandise shall be for them that dwell before the Lord, to eat sufficiently and for durable clothing. In other words, the saints shall walk upon the ashes of the wicked. Alright? Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down. Notice the great cataclysms, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priests. In other words, in this time that I'm going to do this, it's as there are people, there are priests. In other words, the people will be like the priest. Brother Brown said, you know, the pastor, if he kind of holds his finger up a little bit like this when he's talking, the people will hold their finger up like this when they're talking. If the pastor kind of, Brother Brown said, has kind of a jerk, you know, like, you know, when he's talking like that, the people walk around, you know, have the same jerk. You know? So the people then take the spirit of the pastor, says the spirit of God. And he says, and it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. In other words, look, as people, as priests. Like people, like priests. In other words, they've got itching ears, and they're just fulfilling what the people want to hear. They're there to teach the people what the people want to know, not what they should know. Alright? As with the servant, so with his master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled. For the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Because they have transgressed the laws, they've changed the ordinances, they've broken the everlasting covenant. Notice, it changed the laws. Good is now considered evil. Evil is considered good. Political correctness is in. Godly righteousness is out. Taking a stand for righteousness is out. Accepting just anything goes is in. You see? The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof. Because they have transgressed the laws, they've changed the ordinances, they've broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. So there's a great burning coming. When? After the 70 years. Now, notice Jeremiah 25:11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the kings of Babylon and the nations, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolation. And I will bring upon the land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in the book with which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of them also. And I will recompense them according to their deeds and according to the works of their own hands. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of his fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink of it. And they shall drink and be moved and be mad, because of the sword that I will send among them. Then took I the cup at the Lord's hand, and make all the nations to drink, unto whom the Lord hath sent me, to wit, Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, the kings thereof and the princes thereof, to make them a desolation and astonishment and hissing and a curse, as it is this day. Pharaoh king of Egypt and his servants and his princes and all his people, and all the mingled people, and all the kings of the land of Uz, and all the kings of the land of the Philistines, and Ashkelon, and Azza, and Ekron, and the remnant of Ashdod, and Edom, and Moab, and the children of Ammon, and all the kings of Tyrus, and all the kings of Zidon, and the kings of the isles which are beyond the sea, Dedan, and Tema, and Buz, and all that are in the uttermost corners, and all the kings of Arabia, and all the kings of the mingled people that dwell in the deserts, and all the people of Zimri, and all the kings of Elam, and all the kings of the Medes, and all the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world, which are upon the face of the earth. And the king of Shishak shall drink after them. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, Drink ye, and be drunken, and spew, and fall, and rise no more, because of the sword which I will send among you. And it shall be, if they refuse to take the cup at thine hand to drink, then shalt thou say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ye shall certainly drink. For lo, I begin to bring evil in that city, which is called by my name. And should ye be utterly unpunished? Ye shall not be unpunished. For I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. Notice, for I will call for a sword upon all the inhabitants of the earth, saith the Lord of hosts. You've got jihad everywhere. And you've got the government of the United States chasing them down everywhere. They're now in the Philippines. Who knows where they're going to go next? Therefore prophesy thou against them all these words, and say unto them, The Lord shall roar from on high, and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give them a shout. He shall give them a shout? What does that sound like? A noise shall come, even to the ends of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. And they shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. Howl, ye shepherds, and cry, and wallow yourselves in the ashes, ye principals of the flocks. For the days of your slaughter and of your dispersions are accomplished, and ye shall fall like a pleasant vessel. And the shepherds shall have no way to flee, nor the principal of thy flock to escape. A voice of the cry of the shepherds and an howling of the principal of the flock shall be heard, for the Lord hath spoiled their pasture, and the peaceful habitations are cut down because of the fierce anger of the Lord. He hath forsaken his covert as a lion, for their land is desolate because of the fierceness of the oppressor and because of his fierce anger. So there's coming a time, and notice it all begins, he says, after the 70 years. Excuse me. Now, notice in Daniel, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. In other words, he read the word. I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years wherewith the word of the Lord come to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Israel, of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord. You see, Daniel was so taken back when he read in the book 70 years, and he said, It's upon us. And so Daniel, what did he do? He said, I begin to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, Lord, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the commandment and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. And Daniel set his heart to find out what this was all about. And God said, It's coming. The day of deliverance is coming. Now we find in Zechariah 7 and verse 4, Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, Speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, When ye have fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years did you all fast unto me, even to me. And when you did eat and when you did drink, did not ye eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words with the Lord? Which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets, when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities that are about thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your house. But they refused to hearken. And they pulled away their shoulder, and they stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest that they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent to his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned. for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Now, I believe with all my heart, and I'm not saying this to say, okay, now it's going to be 2003. Just like some people try to say, well, you know, Brian was trying to say that everything's going to end in 2000. I never said that. I said there's going to be some confusion. And I said, it's better to be prepared than not to be prepared. But I'll tell you one thing, Brother Branham laid it all out. And even Brother Branham, he said, I doubt it could go to 2000. Well, it has. I'm sorry, Brother Branham, but it went to 2000. We're now into 2002. But the fact is, from 1933, when the angel of the Lord came, to 2003, 70 years. 70 means deliverance. Now, could it be? It could be. Could it not be? Well, maybe not. But I'd sooner have my heart set on getting ready and fasting and praying and just seeking God to get me ready to go home, because I'm tired of being so, you know, as the Bible said, they said, all things continue. You know, at the Perugia, all things continue. Well, let me tell you something. In my heart, I don't want all things to continue. I want to seek God. I want to fast. I want to pray. I want to get myself ready. When's it going to come down? Who knows? The towers have already come down. The strength of America, her financial system, is already beginning to crumble. One of these days, we'll all be without jobs. The whole thing's going to come down. Brother Branham said the whole thing, it's going to be a worse depression than the first one. He said make the first one look like a Sunday school picnic, didn't he? When's it coming? I don't know. All I know is, as I've preached before, God has just allowed a hardening. He brings a little bit, he pulls it back, lets them get comfortable again, they get harder. He brings it on, they get a little bit soft again, he pulls it back, they get it harder. Why is that? Because that's how you do it with metal. You put it over the flame, you beat it on a little bit, and you put it in the cold water. It gets a little bit harder. It's tempering it. You put it back in the flame, you beat on it a little bit more, you get it malleable again, you put it in the water again, it becomes hard again. And now every time it becomes more hard, more hard, more hard, more hard, until it gets so brittle it'll break. It won't bend anymore. It won't be soft and supple. You see? In other words, they're not hot, they're not cold. They're lukewarm. God wants us on fire. You see? I believe it's coming down. Now, when's it coming? I don't know. I don't know. But it can't go on too much longer. Did you know that the Zodiac... the ancient Zodiac doesn't go beyond, I think it's 2007, something like that. Well, you take 3.5 years off of 2003, what do you got? Right around 2007. You know? Could it be before 2003? Sure, it could be tomorrow. It could be this spring. Brother Brown said, I believe the resurrection takes place in the spring. Let's be looking for it. I preach that every year. I think I've preached that every year in the last 20 years. Let's be looking for it. Brother Brown said, sometime in the springtime, between 6 and 9 o'clock. First watch, or third watch, or whatever the watch was. I think the first watch is a restaurant. Okay. Anyway, from the first seal, Brother Branson, notice, and when this Holy Spirit that we have in our midst, it becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown Him King of Kings. That's right. Now, from Mother's Day, Brother Branson said, and as the light begins to spread, we'll know as we're known. We'll understand and we'll remember our acquaintances and the ones that's been there, and there'll be many there that we didn't even think would be there. For you know it's at that time that I believe that the bread that we have cast upon the human troubled waters will return to us on that day when we see the effects of our testimony on people that we didn't understand their actions toward it. Will probably be there. What a day that will be. And then the seeds that we sowed, not even thinking what they would do, but here they are. And they brought forth precious fruits, and we'll see them on that day. From also, from paragraph 86, he continues and says, as that great light begins to spread, hallelujah, as we begin to look around, and the great circle will be getting greater and greater. And it's all just reflecting the approach of Jesus. I believe that light is spreading. We came to the place where there we couldn't list a dozen ministers a few years back, a dozen ministers in the world who were taking a stand for this revelation. And that light is beginning to spread, and it's getting greater and greater and greater. Now listen. And as we begin to look around, and that great circle will be getting and greater, and it's all just reflecting the approach of Jesus. And after a while, as the song said, and I shall see Jesus at last, and we will be waiting for me, Jesus so kind and true. On his beautiful throne, he'll welcome me home after this day is through. Then as we see him, and will not be as we are now, we'll know how to love him more. We'll not stand back with a little fear, because we'll be like him. Listen to this. He'll be more of a relative to us than he is now. Well, sure, he's your brother. And you recognize that he's your brother. That's a relative. We'll understand him better, because we're so far away in this mortal body. Then we'll have a body like his own glorious body. We'll know how to worship him. And when we see what the presence of his being has done to us, has changed us, the old back young, all the deformed straightened out. Oh, we'll understand then why his power healed us. The question that's been in our mind, how can he do it? What would this, somehow mysteriously, they'll all fade away. The knots that's been tied in the back of our minds. Will it be this? How could it be? Somehow or another, majestic fingers will just untangle and unravel those knots, and it'll all fade into that one big crown of love. From Jehovah Jireh, he said, and then remember, if we go before he comes, we will be up and in his presence, or raised before the others are changed. That's what we talked about here. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Look at the order of the resurrection, see? God knows that we long to see our loved ones. And if we got there to meet him first, we'd be looking around to see if mother or dad and the rest of them was there. But see how the Holy Spirit in his wisdom, we meet one another first. And then when we get there and sing Amazing Grace, that's when there's going to be a time of worship. Hallelujah. When their eyes were opened, Brother Van said, soon there's something greater than this that's coming, and it'll soon be here. It'll be marvelous then, if the Lord willing. How many ever read my last vision? That's been wrote up in the magazines. Wait till you see that take place. You didn't catch what he just said, did you? How many ever read my last vision that's been wrote up in the magazine? You remember all the people coming together saying, Brother Branham, my precious brother, remember the vision beyond the curtain of time? He says, wait till you see that take place. Well, if we see it take place, we were there in that vision. You see? Then this will be minor, what the Lord's fixed it, and you just keep on and on and on and on till Jesus is coming. The time of the gathering of the people is at hand, and we must look forward to great things to happen. How many read the sermon, when omnipotent speaks, miracles happen? Did you believe that? Certainly. Omnipotent spoke at every junction. And when the church cooled off, then omnipotent spoke. Miracles take place. And this is the junction of all junctions. This is the end time. The end of the whole history of the world is right now at hand. So you can expect omnipotence to speak. And you can expect the greatest and mightiest miracles that's ever happened on the earth will happen in the next few years to come. If Jesus tarries, it will. And that was spoken in 1956. And look at the great things. The angel coming down and all this a few years later, like you said. And remember, 1956, when Brother Brown said everything's cooling off, that's when he said America rejected the gospel. From God in simplicity, he said God just speaks and the rapture will come. It ain't going out there and then angels come down and shovel out the graves and get out of the old dead carcass here. What is it? It is born of sin to begin with, but a new one made in its likeness. If we have this, we will die again. See? And nobody can say the graves will open, the dead shall walk out. That may be true, but not open the way that you say open. That's right. See? It won't be like that. It'll be a secret. Because he said he would come like a thief in the night. He's already told us. The rapture, then the judgments will strike. Sins, plagues, sicknesses, and everything. The people will cry for death to take them from the judgment. Lord, why is this judgment upon us when you said that there would be a rapture first? And he will say, it's already come and you didn't know it. God hiding himself in simplicity, oh my. Alright, it's already happened and you knew it not. Why don't believers believe the simple signs of his coming? They're expecting all these things that's spoken of in the scriptures, and the moon is going to go down in the middle, and the sun in the middle of the day, and there's going to be all kinds of things. Why don't people believe the simple signs of his coming? They're expecting all these things that's spoken of in the scripture, and the moon's going to go down in the middle, and the sun in the middle of the day, and there's going to be all kinds of things. And oh, if we could just had, I got notes wrote here, see, to show what them things are, and we'll get it on the breaking of these seals this week anyhow. See, there it is, just where it's already passed, and you didn't know it. See. See, that is, if the angel of the Lord will break them seals forth to us, remember, it's sealed with them seven mysterious thunders, see? Now, why can't people believe the simplicity, the simple simplicity of a humble bunch of people and the voice of the signs of God? Why can't they believe it? Just like it always has been, the true word of God is being made manifest, but they're too smart and too educated to believe the simple form of the written word. They want to put their own interpretation to it, and it don't mean this, and it don't mean that. It does mean that. Listen, and may I say this right quick. Even the vision that God gives here at this place is so misunderstood. That's the reason you hear me on the tapes to say what the tapes say. Say what the visions say. All right, from Hebrews chapter 7, Brother Bram said, and he took his dead body from the grave. On the first day, he brought it up into heaven. And sat there as the high priest, as a memorial, sitting there perfect forever. And the spirit that he tore out of that body, right back down upon the church. And that church will have to have the same spirit that was in that body, or it won't dovetail with it in the resurrection. Those two pieces must come perfectly together. And if this church isn't perfectly, just exactly, the same spirit that was in Christ, you'll never go in the rapture. So when you got your own thing coming, you're going to have your own thing coming. You get it? So get rid of your own thing and get Christ. And who is Christ? He's the Word. And how do you receive that same Spirit? Jesus said, my words are spirit and they're life. So if you got the same Word that Jesus has abiding in you, living in you, you have the same life that was in Jesus living in you. Because God is the Word. Now, notice this. There's the everlasting covenant, brother. Seek it out. What's in your heart? Love the Lord. Really, be sure that you're saved. Don't take a chance on it. You're gambling. We American people love to gamble, but don't you gamble on that. You be sure that you're right. Not because you join church, but because that you're truly born again. Christ has come to you in the person of the Holy Spirit. From Greater Than Solomon is here, he said, so I pray that someday I'll see that great uniting together of all the body of Jesus Christ coming together at one great big body, then the rapture will come. Well, that's great. I think it's happening. I think we're part of it. This message has been so divided for years and years and years, and now there's a coming together. When I get letters from brothers, they say, you know, I've been struggling, I've been battling with who's this Melchizedek, I've been battling with these things, and now I get this book out of the blue, sent to me on the cruise of Christ, and now it all makes sense. Brother Vergara said, you know, I had taken myself out of the picture. He said, for 20 years, I'd been baptized 20 years ago in the message. And he said, for the last 3 years, I pulled myself back from all the ministers and said, it's a bunch of nonsense what's going on. They've got two souls, and they got seven thunders, they got all this stuff, and it doesn't do anything for my soul. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm crying out to God. And then all of a sudden, somebody sends me this book called Apprusia. He said, I begin to read it. I couldn't put it down. And he said, but I lost the front page. And I haven't been able to get a hold of you. I want more of this. And so I sent him more. He'd been preaching it for the last, 2.5 years now. It'll be 3 years this March. He's got a lot of converts over there. They're on fire. The whole message has changed. Why? Because of the simple simplicity. God hiding himself in simplicity. I remember years ago I had a guy say, well, you know, if I had to just take your ministry, he said, I'd starve to death. Well, good. I'm not. I'm eating manna from heaven.
You know, that manna, well, you know, it wasn't potatoes. It wasn't garlics, it wasn't leeks, but it was manna, and it kept the people alive. It was simplicity. Simplicity. Oh, I don't break things down like, I'm not the one like Brother Vail with the big words, and I can't, you know, give you the $25 words, and I wasn't meant to be. I was meant to break it down like manna. Just real simple, just this little white stuff. It's called righteousness. But it sure is keeping us alive in this wilderness. And it's getting us ready for going home. And it's sure doing something around the world. I got letters from about close to 300 brothers around the world. Direct letters from about at least 100 and some. And then brothers telling me there's hundreds of brothers over in Africa, Central Africa over there. They said we'd have 100 to 200 ministers at one meeting. They've gotten the books. How do they get them? I only sent about 25. I said 40 and then 25 more. How do they get them? The brothers are making copies. I sent an original batch to Brother Waswa before I sent the other brothers out. He never got his. Somebody stole it in the post office. So he got a third generation copy. Brothers who had made copies, and then finally he got a copy. So when he came over, I gave him the originals of everything. But the fact is that those copies are making copies and making copies. That first Perugia book went out. I had one copy. I used a little pluckety typewriter. Bob Brooks took it and had some friend of his that had a computer. They put it on. They made 300 copies. Bob Brown, Morris Unger, they took it around the world. When I 10 years later, when I went to Norway, they had translated Norwegian. They said a brother from Congo had wanted to translate into French. I don't know if it ever happened. That book was gone to Tasmania, you know Tasmanian devils, you know, the Tasmania over there, and Australia, went to Australia, went all over the world. I don't even know all the places. I'd like to ask Morris. Where did that book go? Where'd you guys go? One book. We didn't have a big organization. We didn't have millions of dollars. If y'all know me, I'm kind of cheap. I mean, I'll make a book for 6 cents instead of trying to be glitzy and make it for a dollar. But you know what? There's life in that 6 cent book. And there's a heart in that 6 cent book. That 6 cent book's doing more good than those dollar books they send out. All glossy prints and everything else, and full of, you know, pictures of roses and lilies and, you know, who knows what instead of the pillar of fire. All right. Anyway, so what is the Holy Ghost, Brother Vance? Now the Spirit of God has worked under justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, the baptism of the Holy Ghost under Pentecost, and here it is in the last days performing and doing the very same thing that it did when it was in Christ. And what is it? The Church of Christ has become one. And as soon as they connect together that last link, she will go through the sky shouting up, and up will come Wesley, Luther, all the rest of them back in those days. He that's first will be last, and he that's last will be first, and there'll come the resurrection. All right, so the last one down is the first one come up. Questions and answers. He said, just now Brother Mercier said that he got the best of the meetings where we explained that when the Holy Spirit came into the meeting and broke itself up and God dividing himself among the people, well, that's just what it does. And when God's people begins to come to gather back together, there's unity, there's power, see? And whenever God's people gets together completely, I believe the resurrection will take place then. There'll be a rapturing time when the Holy Spirit begins to gather it up, and it'll be in the minority, of course, but there will be a great gathering. Now, from at thy word, Lord, he said, one of these glorious daybreaks, Jesus shall come, and all the sorrow will be banished and tears wiped away. Those immortal souls that's resting yonder in paradise shall come forth like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we shall appear here on earth and then be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So we're getting together with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I got some questions I'd like to ask some of those brothers. I'm going to have a good time sitting down with Jacob. I'm going to say, what did it feel like when your mom kind of put you up to that? I want to know what you went through. I want to know what it felt like when you knew your brother was going to kill you. How big was he? Was he really as hairy as the Scripture tells us? I want to know. I want to find out those things. You see? And he said, we're going to spend time with him. And at that time, at that word, Lord, Brother Brown said, one of these glorious day breaks, Jesus will come and all sorrow will be banished and tears wiped away. Those immortal souls that's resting yonder in paradise shall come forth like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we shall here on earth
be here on earth, and then be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Okay, from the invisible union, he said, there will come forth a resurrection day, which the first will be last, and they which are last will be first. The old prophets will come breaking forth first, and they, seeing that procession, going marching up in the air, and we which are alive and remain shall not hinder them which are asleep. For the trumpet of God shall sound, the dead of Christ shall rise first, and we shall fall right in line with them going in. Hallelujah, all down through the age of Luther, Wesley, Methodist, Presbyterian, on down to the last age who received the word in their age. You talk about there's going to be meaning in the air. Oh, hallelujah. From Uniting Time of Science, that we find that now, the time comes when the trumpet sounds and those sleeping saints back there that could not be made perfect without us, there's many of those Hebrew brethren, and when they come together, they unite with the living ones, the church uniting with the Word, then the church and the Word uniting together, becoming one, the dead saints will with the living saints uniting together to be one and all going together to unite with Christ yonder for the wedding supper of the Lamb. And to think of us standing in a moment in the twinkling of an eye when the world won't know what's going on, but all of a sudden you'll see appear before you your loved ones that's gone on and has come to unite with you again and will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and be caught up together to meet our Lord in the air. Let's get ready. Let's get ready for that midnight cry. It's coming in an hour when you think not. There'll be a cry, not amongst the unbelieving world, but it'll be a secret. Now, from how can I overcome? He said, sooner or later, we're going to have to give each other up. But that won't hurt the rapture now, see? No, they come first then. Them are privileged that's going on. They come first, see? We which are alive remain to the coming of the Lord will not hinder or prevent those that are asleep. The trumpet of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then when our eyes behold our loved ones, then will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and with them shall be caught up together. So when we see that resurrection, something happens. Like Brother Vail said, I believe Brother Brown will be back, and he'll do like Jesus did. He'll go between the lines. And it'll build such rapturing faith, it'll bring on a body change. From going beyond the camp, we read, and you know, we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Think of it, missing people. They can't see you no more, but you're setting together with the rest of the group. They which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder, the word is, those which are asleep. No, not dead. No, Christians don't die. They're just taking a little rest, see? That's all. Oh my. And the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and appear to many. And all at once, you happen to stand and look, and, well, there's a brother. And you know, it ain't long, in a few minutes, we'll be changed into in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, and together with them, be missing on earth, caught up to meet the Lord in the air. From Questions and Answers, he said, then you believe that Jesus Christ is the Word, and that Word is made flesh now among us, fulfilling exactly what he said would do in this age. Now, the first thing happens when we're resurrected. The ones which are living will just remain. The resurrection will set in first. The resurrection of those that are asleep, there'll be an awakening. And those which are asleep in the dust will be awakened first, and then these corruptible bodies will put on an incorruption in the rapturing grace of the Lord. Notice, rapturing grace of the Lord. And then we'll all get together. And when they begin to get together, then we which are alive and remain shall be changed. These mortal bodies will not see death, but just of a sudden, there'll be like a sweep go over us, and you're changed. You're turned back like Abraham was, from an old man to a young man, from an old woman to a young woman. What's the sudden change? And after a while, you're traveling like a thought, and you can see those then who are already resurrected. Oh, what an hour. Then we'll gather with them and then be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. Yes, the church will all be together, but after the resurrection and the rapture has set in. So see, physically, we won't be all together until then. But we will be together in Christ before then. Luke 21:36, he says, this is the pole, the third pole, and he's speaking of the word. It seems entirely possible for you to speak the word, and one would be completely and fully restored, placed entirely ready for the rapture in the resurrection, the Son of Man. This is so, or is it not? And you would do this if properly pressed upon. Would you not escape all things? It's got a ditto here. Escape all things and stand before the Son of Man? This is from Questions and Answers, see? And Brother Brown said, now, my dear friend, now, I think you got a good statement. Yes, sir. But now, that would be so. You said, Brother Branham, in other words here, here's what I, Now, I don't think it's, I can't, I believe, not polishing up what you said, but I believe that I can make it a little clearer to the people. See, you are believing because of the spoken word and things like that, that he said about, and all of you here witnessed the squirrels and all these other things that's been done. But did you notice that was sovereignly given? I never asked him, Lord, let me do this, speak these things like this, do these things like this. I never asked him that. He, by his own divine will, came to me and said, you go do this. You see, somebody was thinking, Brother Branham, you can speak the word if we pressed upon you enough. It didn't work that way, Brother Branham says. God has got to author it. You see, he's the author and finisher. From question and answer, he said, the time of the rapture will be an awakening of the dead and a get together with the living for the rapture to take place. Jesus cannot come again. Or Jesus cannot come until a church, a body of believers, and the ministry that he wants will have to be the same as it was then. And then that brings them without us is not made perfect. Paul said, Hebrews 11, without us they cannot be perfected. They must have this ministry to raise up the Lutheran, Wesley, and all of them down through the ages. Okay. From questions and answers, he said, and then shall he send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds and the utmost parts of the earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. That's talking of the resurrection, the translation, the going up. He will send forth his angels together. Did you ever think what the angels are? Huh? Messengers. He will gather them together, congregate them together, see? Bringing them, bind them together from the utmost parts of the earth to the utmost parts of heaven. The word that has been made manifest on earth, see? Get it? The word's been spoken. Here it is manifested. From Easter seal, it says, now if that same spirit that was upon him to be the Redeemer in that age that we have accepted, now the promise of in this days, what would take place if you become part of that word? You are redeemed with him because the same spirit that dwelt in Christ is dwelling in you, quickening your life to this age. And it will also in the end time quicken your mortal bodies, resurrect them, bring them up again. That takes the gloom away when we look at it that way. And that's the truth. Romans here, Paul says, Paul has proved it to us. See, if the spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will also quicken your mortal bodies. This is the same spirit that raised up Jesus, that raised him up, that quickened the true believer to eternal life. The spirit that's raised up Jesus from the dead dwells into the believer, and it quickens the believer to eternal life. Okay, now, from rising of the sun, he said, and now you are already resurrected. When God raised him up, he raised you. The sun is just now on you. And now you're growing up into a blossoming life like he was, to be resurrected completely in the last day. Your potentials that you have now. Why do you know? Your soul changed, didn't it? Your body come into obedience, didn't it? Into obedience to what? A church? No, the Word, which is the life. Then you are now resurrected.